come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, down to the field. He's got Drew. 35, 30.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live from the Quest Diagnostic Center in East Rutherford, New Jersey. I'm Paul Dottino. He's Howard Cross. We'll be here for the next hour to take your phone calls and your comments about New York Giants football. Our number is 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513, or you can always get us on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. As the Giants get ready to take on the Washington, not the Washington Redskins, they just beat the Redskins, didn't they, Howard? We're heading up to Buffalo to take on, yeah, the Buffalo Bills, that helmet right there. Nice call, Howard. Up in Orchard Park. One thing for sure, Howard, there's a lot of talk on the East Coast, and for those of you who listen around the world and also around the country on the web, you probably have heard that this Hurricane Joaquin is going to be coming here over the weekend. Supposedly, late Sunday night into Monday. So we don't think it's going to have any impact on the game up in Buffalo. But I understand there is a possibility of some rain. And David Deal was telling me yesterday, Howard, that Buffalo does have a raucous crowd when they get going. It's a tough place to play. Wind and nasty rain gets cold and pretty miserable conditions at times. You remember the Giants a few years ago had a game up there where the weather was brutal, and Ahmad Bradshaw ran for a critical touchdown as the Giants rolled.
I like the way you say, I remember. I'm the sideline reporter. Of course I remember bad weather. That's all I think about is bad weather. You're talking about a hurricane. I'm like, right now, I'm trying to maybe I may not be able to make this one.
Oh, my goodness. We know how it's going to tough it out for sure. In any event, it's the Giants and the Bills. Bills coming in at 2-1, Giants at 1-2. And basically the big story of the week, Howard, has been Rex Ryan, the former Jets coach who spent 6 years with the Jets, who brings his toughness, his defensive genius, if you will, up to the Bills, where they've got a terrific defensive line, a terrific pass rush, okay, and they want to do everything they can to discombobulate your team with that defense.
Discombobulate? I think what happens is I think people have overestimated a little bit of Rex Ryan. I think he's gotten to a good situation, played some teams, and got some wins. Played against the Patriots, got smoked. Got to keep that in perspective. Got a quarterback in Tyrod Taylor who can be very dynamic and can make some mistakes. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Giants play him. If they have a lot of great lane integrity, that's going to stress that Buffalo offense out. I think also you have to think about the idea that the offense is getting stronger and stronger every week. So even with all those guys running around, they got like they're 31st against the pass. They're number one against the run. Okay, well, we really don't run the ball all that much. So they're going to have to contend with Odell Beckham. Now Reuben Randall, the tight ends playing in the game, Vereen out of the backfield, whoever else may be in there, receiver from time to time, all that's all factors that they have to like decide what they're going to do with. And if they try to figure out how to cover them and they're standing guys up, and you run the ball while a guy's standing, you get an extra 5 yards.
So now we get to the nugget of the day. It's really old news now because it's already been out there for a day. Victor Cruz was forced to shut down his calf, which aggravated itself during the course of practice yesterday. Coach Coughlin says he is out for the game. We kind of figured that was going to be the case. And he's going back to rehab that calf now, and the Giants have no timetable on getting him back. Howard, I don't know if you ever had to play with a calf. I'm sure you probably had hammies and other bumps and bruises over the course of your career.
No, I didn't have that. I didn't have any of those injuries.
But, I mean, Coach is throwing his hands up. It's like, I don't know what to say or do about this because it's become a mystery, for lack of a better term, as to how they can heal this thing and how they can get him on the field.
Look around the league and even look within the Giants. A calf injury is a new injury. I think me personally not being a doctor, it sounds like a precursor to you tearing your Achilles or something. Because when guys start to feel their calf hurt, they stop. If they don't stop, somehow either they pull the calf. You don't have a lot of calf surgeries. You hear of Achilles tears, right?
Right.
So I think that may be one of those hand-in-hand moments, and he's being as cautious as he can. Don't know how you can get it up and running quick enough to see if it's ready to go. Don't know how to test it. I don't know anything about the injury that injury in particular, it's been a very recent injury in the league. You see more and more guys complaining about calf injuries around the league. So, again, I don't know what fans are expecting. I don't know what coaches are expecting. You can talk about it all you want. Unless you see a guy running, and I mean running hard, because the first thing that you really feel outside of your ankle is your calf. And when you make those cuts, it's big. It's not your quads. It's not your hamstring. It's when you plant that foot, that calf fires up.
Now, one thing the Giants have done to try to help their situation is compile that short list that you always hear about. They had guys in the other day to work out, Hakeem Nicks, Wes Welker, Chris Cooley, the former tight end, was also in as a workout. Coach Coughlin commented on Welker earlier today at the press briefing and said he looked good, he was quick, seemed as though he passed all his medical exams. And when asked, would you think you might sign him, Coach said, well, we're going to have to see. We're going to have to see what the need is. So I think the Giants are trying to bide their time and hold their breath a little bit, hoping that, again, cross your fingers, there's a chance that Cruz will come back sooner rather than later. But it did sound like Welker worked out well and he would be on the radar.
Well, what happens is, you have to think about this from a team standpoint, when you bring a guy in, you got to let a guy go. So you got guys on the team that you need. They're filling spots. Maybe they're a backup lineman. Maybe they're a backup. You wouldn't let go of a backup DB because the DBs keep getting bounced around.
Yeah.
But it's a couple players are probably special team guys and contributors. Maybe they don't get to dress out that often. But when they do dress out, they're needed because you got guys on the team. You form the team with guys you really need to be there and really need to play. So when you say you're going to bring in another receiver, then who's going to go home from there? And then the receiver you're bringing in is probably not going to be a special teams player. So you're bringing in a guy who's only there to play one, to do one thing. That's why teams and coaches all around the league, when it's time to make that decision, you kind of hesitate a little bit because you don't want to be, I'll jump out and get this guy, and then all of a sudden he can only play receiver. Now who's going to cover?
Yeah.
So that's probably a little bit of the hesitation there.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. All right, 201-939-4513 is our phone number here at the Giants facility. It's Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, we'll be here till 1 o'clock Eastern time to take your phone calls and talk about the Giants. One thing interesting to note before we get to the phone calls, Howard, and it's very important. You and I have been around this place for a long time, and you see the emotions and the way that the waves come and go. And the Giants started out with a very disappointing 2-0 start. Frustration, disgust, aggravation. A lot of verbs and adverbs, but adjectives could be used to describe how difficult things were.
I was going to call your grammar teacher there, but okay.
Yes, exactly. but truly, truly, it's been said before, and maybe it's the case for this team, that one win can just do a lot. Open up a window of fresh air.
I think, okay.
You know what I mean?
I got it. Winning cures everything, right? It's the cure-all. It makes every joint feel better. It makes everything feel better. But think of this. The Giants needed a win. They got one. They got one in more of an impressive way than you think. It wasn't this last-second collapse. They found a way to close out the team they were playing against, and that's pretty good. Now, can they do it again? Can they continue to do it? What was the big catch in the last one? Was they started playing closer attention to details. They did things right. When there was an opportunity for an interception, they caught the ball.
Fewer drops, too.
When there was an opportunity for them to catch the ball, they caught the ball. When there was opportunity to get that block on the edge, somehow, some way, they got the block on the edge. When you start doing little bitty things right, it starts to show it's a – You'd be shocked. Like we used to say all the time, a guy on the other side of the field has no bearing on the play. Now that guy on the other side of the field could put his hand on your face mask. Okay, that's a penalty. So all 11 guys have to be doing their job at all times.
It's amazing how all the things kind of add up, and then the domino effect happens, and all of a sudden good things start to happen or bad things start to happen, depending upon which way the ball's going.
Believe it or not, if the games are close, most games are decided in 3 to 5 plays.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that. And so the joke was always, when we were growing up, it's like, don't let that play that's decided be decided on something you didn't do.
Bob from Pennsylvania, you're first on the program. Hello.
Hi, guys. Nice to talk to both of you. That's why, being you two were on the show today, I wanted to call in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, maybe we could get one more year out of you Howard, we need some blocking in the tight end position really bad.
You want to
cut somebody? How about Danelle right there? I got somebody who's kind of useless as far as I would take Welker over Danelle on the team right now. I get a little frustrated, guys, just the fact that some of the personnel decisions that they seem to make and not make, it's like you're saying the guy looked good and quick, comes in. So why do you want to advertise to the rest of the league and not sign him? And not, you know, we need another receiver right now. And we need some blocking. So Danelle, if all he's going to do is catch a couple passes and then do somersaults because he doesn't want any contact, what good is he on the team?
I don't know. I think that, you know, a guy that can potentially catch 70 balls is always good. So, I mean, that,
I know he's tall, but he doesn't seem to want contact this year, Howard.
70
he,
balls.
He, every time, he doesn't seem to want even to be tackled. I mean, then he coughs up the ball half
the
time.
Well, think of it this way. Think of it this way. I know that's what you're thinking, but think of it this way. Let's say he catches 70 passes, he catches 8 touchdowns, and he avoids being tackled the entire time. You don't care what he does after that point. You're complaining about what you're looking at because you want more out of him. Most guys that are tall don't like to be hitting their legs or around their knees. He's just not I think he's a former basketball player as well. So he hasn't grown up taking lower body hits. So he's trying to figure out how to get down so that he doesn't fumble the ball. And it's a process. I mean, it's easy to do when you're in practice because no one's hitting you. Like, literally, no one's touching you. And then in a game, guys aren't even – they can't hit you up around your shoulders like they used to. They're diving at your knees. So what do? You're trying to figure out, how do I take a hit around my knees? And if you're not used to it and you haven't done it your entire life and all of a sudden someone's asking you to do it at full speed, NFL speed, you might jump or hop a little bit. I mean, I like the fans are like – can tell another guy to do with his knees. Like, you know, don't jump, man. Take that shot. And then, you know, like Rob Gronkowski.
Guys. I guess just the fact that I feel we'd be 3-0 if James Jones instead of Preston Parker had been kept in the beginning of the year. And I don't understand. I never understood that move. That's not a second guess because I was up in arms when they let go of James Jones. And now if they're potentially not going to get Welker, and you're going to let somebody else pick him up if he's, you know, if he's healthy, why? You need another receiver right now.
I'll tell you what I think. I think you should consider this. James Jones was on the market for the entire offseason, and then the Giants picked him up like a week or so before camp. Why didn't anyone else pick him up? That's what you have to consider. You're making assumptions.
Yeah, but he's a professional receiver.
No, actually, he's a receiver catching balls from Aaron Rodgers.
Right. I understand that.
It's like when the guy who when Tom Brady got hurt that year and he goes out and they're like, the season's lost. I'm like, I can throw the ball to Randy Moss and Wes Welker. you gotta like look at things for what they are. Don't look at things for like, oh, this guy was so good and he was with the Giants. Like, you gotta compete wherever you are. He was
I just want a little
Raiders.
Bit of help for Beckham.
Bob, thanks for the call.
If you gave him a little protection, I think you'd get a lot more out of Beckham, and then you could have put Beckham in the slot and Jones on the outside. I think that was an alternative than putting Parker in there who can't catch.
Bob, I got other calls I got to go to, but thank you for ringing us up today.
Thank you very
Appreciate
much.
Appreciate it. Abdul from Minneapolis, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I think as everyone, you know, once we heard the Victor Cruz news, we got a little deflated. But you know, look at the issues the Giants are facing. Victor Cruz not playing is one of the lower issues. You know, I think our defense, our lack of pass, which is much more important than Victor Cruz not playing. You know, Victor would have been a great icing on the cake, but the offense is still scoring. It's not like, you know, we're scoring, you know, one touchdown a game. We're putting points on the board. You know, and we do have other receivers out there
to be fair, the red zone has been an issue.
Fair enough, but we're still scoring. You know, it's not like we're not scoring.
Team is scoring points, but they certainly are leaving some out there.
And you'd like
to believe Victor would help in that regard.
But how about stopping someone? Wouldn't that help in some regard?
I'm going to let Howard jump on this too, Abdul, and I appreciate the call. There's no doubt.
So
the pass rush.
Okay.
Okay. We'll leave you there. I do think that the pass rush is a concern. And Ayers, with a hamstring, Coach said, He wasn't even sure if he was going to be able to work today, and they'd really love to have him back.
I think, you know,
that was my second point. I'm saying getting back Ayers and Owe, double O, is almost much more important than getting Cruz back.
Yeah, Odighi Zoo is doing well on his foot. He's working, and they expect him to play.
Well, I think
having Ayers back, a healthier Beeson, and double O has much more of an impact on this team than not having Cruz there. So I think we should look at the scales and how they balance. And I think, you know, it's not great. Of course, it's sad news that Victor's still hurt. We all want the best of him. We all want him to make our offense that much more potent. But I think in the big picture, you know, worse things could happen on this team. That's all I'm saying. And we should be positive about this game coming up, because I think, you know, the offense can do okay. It's just we need our defense to get back on track.
Abdul, you make a fair point, and I appreciate it. We're going to let you go. Howard, before you comment on that, I'm going to go one better. I'm going to say the guy who's most important of all the injured players for the Giants would be Flowers. I think they'd love to have Eric Flowers playing on Sunday, don't you?
I think the big left tackle, the young guy, if he can get that ankle kind of cooled out in the next week or so, I think he'd be a big impact for the team in the running game, especially because he has changed the strength of the offensive line from the right side to the left side. I think as far as the pass rush goes, I don't think, you know, when Ayers was healthy, it wasn't any great rush as opposed to it wasn't. When Double O was healthy, it wasn't any great rush as opposed to it's not. So you have to, like, really take things in consideration. I think having everybody on the field that you can as healthy as possible helps the team. I think that them staying in their lanes and keeping guys in the pocket helps the team. I think that all the DBs and everybody trying to make plays helps the team. I think staying aggressive from the play calling as well helps the team. You have to do everything you can to get off in three plays. But, you know, right now the Giants are kind of in the middle, as Carl Banks would say, in between some betwixt, trying to figure out how to get these guys off the field. And sometimes it's in pressure. Sometimes it gets there. Sometimes it doesn't. Having DRC back will help the defense.
Sure.
Having, you know, Prince healthy helps the defense. You know, every week Collins is getting better and better at their safety spots. It helps the defense. But, again, if you have time to run across, go back, do whatever, you're going to hit some guys.
Let me ask you one thing, Howard, because it was brought up to me by a couple of fans that Beeson didn't have any tackles last week, played 27 snaps, you know, finally was able to get back into the lineup. So the question to me was, well, Unger had 9 tackles, Unger had an interception, aren't they better off with him in there? And I've answered them my way, but you answer your way. What value does Beeson bring to that defense, even if it doesn't come in stats?
I think, you know, calling the defense and getting guys in the right place. You know, if he's getting guys in the right place, he may not ever have to make a tackle because he's got the guys going where they're supposed to be. You would hope that your middle linebacker makes a lot of tackles, but at the same time, you really hope that the ball is stopped at the line of scrimmage or before it ever crosses the line. And I think that's something that he may add to the game because he's getting guys in the right spot. Maybe he's able to predict where the ball's going and having help guys shade to the right area to make those plays. I don't think fans realize, like, stats are kind of this thing that we all live on because we're in fantasy. We're reading the box score. We're doing all this stuff. There can be players that impact games that you don't see anything that they've done. A guy who takes up 2 players as he's rushing up the field every time. You don't know what that guy's done. You don't know if an offensive guard is having a great game or not unless he has a holding. So, you know, so that's kind of – You don't really know sometimes what's happening. I think guys that can get stats, I mean, I played 13 seasons in the NFL. Only had like 200 and something catches. But they couldn't run the ball half the time if I wasn't in the game.
That's right.
So, you know, and all of a sudden they'd have a game that they'd throw it to me 6 times. I'd have 6 receptions. Everybody go, you're a receiver. I'm like, I do whatever they ask me to do. I was one of those guys that I didn't care if I caught 20 passes or if I caught and didn't catch any. If I could block the guy, we score a touchdown. We scored a touchdown. I wanted to score to help them score touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. All right. By the way, as for Eric Flowers, he's trying to work today, as Coach said, on that sprained ankle. Don't know exactly where he stands for Sunday, but they're going to try it. And he's a gamer. He certainly wants to play if at
tough
all possible.
Kid.
He is very
kid.
Tough. Yep. James from Ecuador, you're next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Hello.
Ecuador.
Indeed.
Hi, Paul and Howard.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Howard, it's, you know, indeed a pleasure, you know, with you on the show. I think it's great to have players on. I appreciate all that you've done and all the memories that you've left me with on your teams. I've got a few points I want to just run by real quick, and then I'll take your response after, you know, after I hang up.
Okay.
if we can do that. First of all, I believe this Buffalo game is going to be a defining game for the Giants in this season, in terms of talent, coaching, and scheme. This is the fourth game of the season. Spags, he knows Tyrod Taylor from being on the Ravens. So he'll, you know, hey, we have a little bit of an advantage there. The Giants are basically healthy, you know, with the exception of Cruz, big loss. But you know what? We got some guys back. The Giant defense now knows Spags' system. It's no longer new. And a couple of quotations I'm going to leave you with is this. They're Giant. They're pretty much famous Giant quotations. You are what your record says you are, and believe what you see. That's why, and this is pretty much why I believe the Buffalo game will define the Giants for the rest of the season. I'll take your call, your response offline. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, James, very much.
Wow, they will define the Giants for the rest of the year. I think that's a, you know what, I think it's a well-thought-out comment he made, but I don't think it defines the team. I think the Buffalo game, it'll be interesting to me because Giants really don't run the ball all that well, and they've been working on it and working on it. So they'll be sitting there trying to run the ball in this game.
That's going to be real hard to do.
Going to be hard to do, right?
Real hard to do.
So what's going to happen?
They're going to have to go to the pass.
So Eli's going to drop back and pass. Well, Buffalo's – the only team that's worse against the pass than Buffalo is us. So it's the Giants. So we're playing against the worst possible pass defense that there is right now today. So, okay, so that would mean that our strength, the passing game, goes against their weakness.
That's true.
And the other thing is that Tyrod Taylor, dynamic, exciting, a lot of fun. If the Giants go ahead by 10 or go ahead by 17 like they did in the last game, how are they going to, you know, score points? Where's that offense? What's going to happen with them?
People are forgetting he's only making his fourth NFL start.
It's not even his fourth NFL start. It's the style of offense that they're actually playing. Yeah. And it's not a I can come from behind offense.
No, it's not.
And you saw that in the Patriot game. Once they got behind a couple scores, they start – it's a panic mode. They're like, okay, what do we do now? We are not prepared. We're not built to come from behind.
Fans, don't forget the Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination at DraftKings. You can play often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. Rod from Washington, you're next on the program. Hello.
Hello, guys. Yeah, you know, I just love to get on the call. Love talking to, you know, Paul and, you know, Howard. Love to hear you guys.
Thank
and,
you.
You know, before, you know, I start, I just wanted to ask a question. Can you guys say happy birthday to my dad? He loves watching the show every morning.
Happy birthday.
Very cool. Happy birthday.
Okay, thank you. So what I wanted to say is that Abdul and Bob, they made some good points, but a lot of people are just like forgetting about my guy Reuben Randall when he had an awesome game against the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
And people saying, oh, we need wide receivers when Reuben Randall did better than Odell did in that game. So when people say, oh, we need wide receivers, oh, sign Hakeem Nicks as fast as you can, sign Wes Walker, sign Chris Cooley, we have an okay receiving core. The only bad part of the core was Preston Parker because he was dropping key balls. So the problem was Reuben Randall played a key game. He didn't play a bad game. Reuben Randall played an awesome game. And our defense, we're playing great when you look at it, when you look at paper. Only thing we're giving up is late game busts, in which the Giants are known for, is for late game busts or late game comebacks. That's been our latest thing ever since like 2011, either greatest comebacks or greatest give-ups or, you know, comeback give-ups. So everybody's forgetting about how we have a good team. Our team is very good. We have a good setup. We have a great team. The only problem is that it's the play calling. I'm not saying Tom Coughlin and Spags are doing bad or Ben McAdoo. We're doing an awesome job of all that. When it comes down to it, you have to make plays no matter what. And that's in Reuben Randall's hands. That's in Odell Beckham's hands. Because everybody said, oh, my gosh, Odell Beckham, he might be the greatest wide receiver. And if Cruz is healthy at the beginning of the season, we have one of the greatest wide receiver corps in the league.
First of all, I appreciate your phone call, and your thoughts are very well thought out. But really what it comes down to, as Howard said earlier, is execution. Executing the plays is going to be the primary reason you win or lose a game, okay?
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, and I think, Howard, you're certainly welcome to disagree, I think that Shane Vereen is going to be the offensive MVP of this game on Sunday against the Bills.
Yep.
I think Randall had a very nice game last week, 7 catches, over 100 yards, and a touchdown. I suspect that Vereen, as we continue to get through this season, is going to become a bigger and bigger part of this Giants attack, and I think he's a very dangerous receiver with the football if they can get that ball out to him in just a little bit of space on the short pass.
I think Vereen will be a big, big part. I think a guy that's kind of forgotten, Larry Donnell and Fells, are going to be a big part in this game.
I agree with that, too.
I think the tight ends, because the way the defense is run is that they're trying to put as much pressure as possible right up the middle, which leaves a void in one-on-one situations with linebackers and sometimes safety. A 6'7" tight end and Fells on the other side, just putting pressure on those two guys, it's going to wreak some havoc, and those guys are going to have to hang back and not be involved in the running game as much. And when you have to cover the tight end in the middle of the field, then all of a sudden your receivers look really good on the outside. So I think the short intermediate catches, which, if you think about it, that's how the Patriots beat them, throwing those short, quick passes, quick hitters right off the bat, and then taking the advantage on the outside with the 6'7" tight end. So it's going to be.
And I like Donnell. There's nothing wrong with Donnell. My problem with Donnell is he's dropped key passes in the past and in this season. Because you think about last year, in our first matchup against the Cowboys at AT&T Stadium, he dropped 3 balls, and 2 of them were fumbles, I think. So I'm just saying, keep your hands on the ball. I don't mind him doing somersaults over players, you know. Who cares about that? Yeah, do a front flip. Get on ESPN Top 10 Highlight, whatever. But just catch the ball and, you know, go out there and make plays. I don't mind if you make plays. Like Preston Parker, he had to go. I'm sorry. He just had to go. Too many drop balls and too many key possessions. But it's also Eli throwing the ball and where he's throwing it, because I was watching the Atlanta game, and a lot of plays that people said it was the wide receiver's fault, I looked at it as Eli's fault because where he placed the ball, like the catch where Larry Donnell, I think, actually dropped, Eli just put it a little bit too high for him. So when he did jump, it hit his fingertips. So everybody's like, oh, if you touch it, you can catch it, which isn't 100% true.
Rod, appreciate your enthusiasm. Great phone call, and please do call back to the show again. Interesting point that he makes, though, Howard, is that, and it really does bear repeating, so many times fans will look at a game, heck, even we do, whether it's on the sidelines or in the box, and we look at it, and the truth is we can't really tell exactly why that play blew up sometimes. Sometimes it is the quarterback's fault. Sometimes it is the receiver's fault. And sometimes we can't really decipher exactly whose fault it is.
Well, listen, if the receiver runs the correct route, you can kind of look at it. We'd have to watch the play after the play, the replay of the game, when there's nothing around and you can watch the all 22. You can see the patterns as they break down and how they fit together. And you can see what the quarterback's looking at and what the receiver should be
right,
looking
but as the game's going on, it's so easy to criticize and not know.
As the game goes on, you'll make a quick comment and you may not see what happens.
Exactly.
It is tough. But as far as catching the ball goes, I'll disagree with the young man. The ideal of a receiver is to catch the ball. That's why you're playing receiver. The ideal of the quarterback is to throw it near you, not directly on your right hip or your back hip, over your shoulder. We've gotten spoiled with Aaron Rodgers being that guy for so long. The ideal of a receiver is, like, if they throw it near me, I catch it. And now that they can't hit me in the head or all around my shoulders, I catch it under any circumstances. Because if it's too high and I can't get it, the guy can't hit me. In the early days, they could hit you just to leave a little message. Don't come across the middle. Now, they can't do that.
And Howard could tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, because I know a different coaching staffs treat it differently. But when players come in on Monday for corrections and you get your grades, and they'll tell a tight end or a receiver, okay, you had these targets, these were catchable balls, and these were ones you caught, and these were ones you didn't catch.
You get
graded on that.
You get graded on everything, but I don't think necessarily someone comes in and tells you these are catchable balls. They come in and say, well, you ran this route. if you did the route properly and the quarterback got the ball out of his hand properly, then there is a catch. If there is a drop, that means the ball hits you in your hands.
If you didn't get out
of your break on time, which is another thing people don't realize. If a quarterback's throwing the ball on timing and you stumble out of your break, you don't get the ball.
Or if you don't run it deep enough, too.
You got to have the right distance. You run the route correctly. But, you know, the breaks and the turns are what are important. I watch high school kids all the time, and when they turn around and look back, they slow down. They put their arms out. The ball's gone over their heads, and people are like, oh, you got to put it on. I'm like, no, the kid has to keep running.
Right, exactly.
That's things that you learn as you go through the process.
Yeah, Brandon Myers in Chicago, remember that play?
Absolutely.
Christian from New York, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So before I get to my point, just want to let you know, I was at the Giants-Redskins game. So, you know, I'm thrilled that we got a win. And looking back at week one and two, I actually feel like it's better to have lost that way than compared to a way where you just weren't even competing well. I mean, they showed that they have what it takes to win. It's just a matter of closing games. And on that 3rd and 10 where, you know, this week he threw the bomb to Randall for the touchdown, that showed that they're putting more emphasis on keeping on the gas pedal and not just settling down because you have a lead. So, to me, that really looks like they're changing their ways for the better for the rest of the season.
All right, Christian, appreciate the phone call. Howard, if you would, address that bomb to Randall, because I think a lot of people were surprised that they did go for the jugular on that play, but it was obviously one that worked, and they're very happy with now.
Well, it's a percentage play. You know, when you're in that spot, you know, you can go deep. You still have access to the short, couple more plays to get a first down. If you go to that play and you hit it, you get a touchdown. You might get a pass interference. You get a lot of things that happen good for you. If you take the short, bang, 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 and methodical down the field, teams are hoping that you do that to run the clock out. But when you go deep and take another score because it's there, you know, that's the whole ideal, is that I don't think fans realize. I think fans think that if a guy throws the ball down the field, he's taking a shot. No, he's not really taking a shot. He's prepared to go methodically down the field, but what happens is that you start playing one-on-ones on the outside, and you give guys open lanes, as opposed to if you have a lead, they drop back and they have, you know, four guys deep or five guys deep trying to prevent you from going down the field. So when you watch every game in the league, it's going to be the exact same thing. When you're driving down trying to take the clock out, you're going to see more guys creeping up trying to prevent you from running the clock out. Those, when they creep the defense up, when the safeties creep up and the linebackers are tight, that gives those outside guys an opportunity in one-on-one situations. And when a guy goes back to the line or goes back to the huddle and he looks at him, he goes like, oh, I got him.
Right.
Then you'll see the ball come out.
And remember, too, the Giants picked on Breland all day long in that game. They had already just absolutely roasted him during the first half, so they knew that going into the second half, if they wanted to make a big play, that was the place they were going.
Absolutely. They also knew that on the opposite side, they were going to go over the top to make sure Odell Beckham wasn't going to get down the field. So they were trying to prevent that. So they were trying to figure out if Reuben Randle still had enough in the tank. They've heard about the tendonitis. They've heard all this stuff. And all of a sudden, we'll press up. We'll use our, you know, for no better term, our weaker corner to try to cover Randle. And they did, and it burnt them.
Gilmore will be on Randall in Buffalo. Darby, the rookie, second-round pick, is going to be the guy who probably draws Beckham in the Bills' secondary. And so that's a heck of an assignment for a rookie to have to go up against Odell. You know he's going to get some help.
Yeah, he'll get some help, but I think that's, you know, when you're coming out and you get a big-time guy in front of you, that's how you make your name. It's how you make your bones and put your name on the map. So he's looking forward to the opportunity. He'll either be on the map for doing a great job or he'll be on the map for being toasted.
One way or the other, he'll get on a highlight film.
There you go.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Our Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter the promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Ronell in Chicago, or is it Ronald? What would it be? Ronald?
How you doing?
How are you?
Yeah, it's Ronell.
Ronell, good to talk
to
you.
It's Ronell. How are you doing? Let me turn this computer down.
Yes, sir. calling from Chicago, Howard. The land of Entrell Roll.
Yeah, Howard.
Hey, how we doing?
Howard.
Hey.
How you doing?
I can't complain. No one cares.
I'm TaylorMade CEO. You made a comment about my comment about being soft.
About
last
what?
Week.
I made a comment about what?
The team playing soft, being soft.
Oh, I did. I made fun
and
of
I
you.
And I see softness in the team from time to time. Last week was an exception. I think we're getting better by the week, but at that time, we were playing soft. That's the bottom line. We cannot make excuses for bad throws, for being soft, or any of that. They are not the players that you are or that the Peppers and the Taylors, they're not those guys. So let's not give them excuses. They're professionals. They have to perform like professionals. Eli just signed a humongous contract. He has to show that he's really, really worth this money going forward. Eli's a great quarterback. I'm not denying that.
So let me help you out.
He's no none of those guys. I want to see that same fire that I see in those guys in him. I want to see that fire. I want to see that determination. If he's an elite quarterback,
I know, but
he has to go get it.
Rynell, hold on a second. Howard, please.
Let me help you out, Rynell. You ever heard the expression? This is an expression I teach my kids. Athletes don't fall to keep their feet. The expression is taught to kids, so the kids keep moving their feet. It reduces injuries if you stand up and learn to move when you play. You ever heard that? Have you ever heard that, Rundell?
Yeah.
You've heard
it. So let me
tell you what I heard in response to that. I made that same comment to a GM one day, and I was telling him about my kids, and the GM started laughing, and I'm like, "What's going on?" And I was at something, I was with one of the other, networks. He goes, "Look out there at the field." I'm like, "I'm looking out at the field at professional athletes going through training camp, working hard." The GM says, "Everybody out there is not an athlete." So what your comment is that these guys should do, they can only perform to the level of their abilities. So when a guy
Listen. I didn't say that.
No. What you said is they were soft and they should play with a lot of fire. When you have the ability of a third round or a second round or a first round player, you're trying to get there. When you have the ability of a guy who you may have been bagging groceries last week, then that's what you're going to play like. When I played in the league, we used to have a joke going around, and forgive me for anybody I said this about because I shouldn't have, but we did it all the time. I'm like, I got a clerk today. A clerk mean a guy that's bagging groceries, and I'm going to wear him out. I would say it. So if you got that on you, if that's what you're dealing with and you can still find a way to make plays, I'm proud of you. But if that's who you are who they say you are.
Indeed.
Danny Green.
And right now, let me tell you something. They don't make them like these guys and those Parcells teams anymore. The game is different, and that's across the board.
It really is.
You know my
favorite thing about what I hear these prognosticators and everybody say, bigger, faster, stronger. They have no idea what they're talking about. There's not an offensive line in the league that was as big as the Dallas offensive line back in the day, or the Redskins, the Hogs. There's no players as fast as Darrell Green, Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, Barry Sanders. There are no players in the league like that. There are no safeties as big as Ronnie Lott. Ronnie Lott would be a defensive end right now. Sorry, Ronnie. So all this stuff that you hear, like I said, you get what you get, you play with what you got, and you try to figure it out as you go. Putting the players in the right position to make plays, that's the idea of a coordinator. He's trying to figure out, okay, this guy can kind of play against the run, but he can't really rush, so I got to put him in the right spot. Okay, this guy can play against the pass, but he really can't play against the run. You got what you got. You can have all the fire in the world, but if you can't do it, you can't do it. So they got to figure out a way to make a meld and mix and figure out how to make it work. So what their theory is, I believe, and I don't know because it's not me, but what I believe their theory is, we need to score at least 28 points a game. That's a big ask.
Oh, we got to score some points.
Yeah.
That's
so the big ask is we're going to score 28 points a game.
Eli, we become too, and I don't want to get offhand, but we become too predictable at times.
Well,
I can literally sit at home and call plays.
Rynell, last year the Giants scored over 26 a game. So if Howard gets his 28 again this year, that's not a whole lot more than what they did last year. It's reasonable.
It's reasonable, but it's tough. I will tell you that a lot has to go right. A lot has to go right to score 28 points a game. Anyway. It just does.
He's too conservative.
Hey, but you know what?
Can I say we're too conservative?
And I'll say this to you.
Can I say I think as an offense we're too conservative?
No.
I would disagree with that.
If you
I really
think,
would.
And I'm going to tell you why you don't. Just hold on. I'm going to tell you why. You have a quarterback.
What?
Every quarterback in the league has to get rid of the ball. Aaron Rodgers is able to dance around. Big Ben can shrug guys off. And, of course, you saw what just happened to him.
Yeah.
And Brady, he doesn't have the ball in his hand more than, like, 2 seconds at best because he's throwing. Just hold on. Just slow down. Slow down. Conservative means that you're not taking shots. Shots mean you're holding on to the ball, which puts your valuable quarterback at risk. You got to have receivers, small little guys that can catch quick passes, quick snaps, quick hooks, quick everything, quick slants. That's one part of the game. You don't have a Julio Jones who can run any route. I mean, Odell Beckham's great, but you don't have
Odell
that.
Odell Beckham that can run any route.
Yeah. Okay, two different people. Odell's exciting, phenomenal catching ball.
Julio's a big guy, and he's pretty darn strong, too.
He's not a humongous body, but he's a great athlete.
He's a good athlete.
Tremendous.
I've watched Julio Jones in 3 games run a slant, slap the defender almost to the ground, catch the ball, and keep going. Yeah, you're talking about two different species of people.
He
almost
truly is a receiver as a beast. He
he's
really
a monster.
Is. He is.
So yeah. Just,
Rennell,
I don't deny that.
Hey, my man. Honestly, thanks for the call, and I'm with you. I love the Parcells era. I still say that the '80s were the golden era of the NFL, and if I could bring it back today, I would. But that's not what's happening. This is the game the way it is. So you're going to have to enjoy it the way it is. And I appreciate your respect for yesteryear. Trust me, because I'm old school. Thank you for the call.
All right.
Richie from Long Island, you're next on the show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Richie.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to comment. I didn't know the status of Will Beatty and, like, when his return is. And also, if the O-line is gelling, would you allow him to come back in and play, or – do you just leave things the way it is?
Two-part question. I'll take one. Howard takes two. I talked to Will just the other day. He is extremely confident that he's got a chance to come off the PUP when it expires after the 6th game. He really believes that there's a chance. Now, there's an exemption period of 2 weeks where they can work him out at practice and not activate him onto the roster, you know, to kind of get his conditioning up if they feel he's not quite ready to step on the field. Will is hoping to get on the field as soon as possible. All systems are green with that. And, you know, where they place him, I'm going to let Howard talk to you about that.
Now, what was the injury again? Remind me what the injury was.
He had the torn pec.
Okay, so I want people to realize when you're trying to figure this out and we're trying to figure out how or where Will
the
will play.
The bicep. It was the weight thing.
Remember,
he lifted the weights.
Something in here.
It was up here.
Okay, so we have a player that has to play with his upper body because he's blocking. Coming, dropping back, trying to prevent guys from getting by him and everything, and injuries in his upper extremity.
Yeah.
So you got to worry about how strong he really is. So it's more about how strong do they see him in his workouts, his weightlifting, his movements and stuff, because the first time you fire all those muscles trying to prevent a guy from getting by you and you yank, that's where that's going to be. Would I move him out? If he was 100%, and I do mean 100%, that's when I would have the conversation. Because then you could almost say, I can see if Flowers was really a right tackle. I can see if I can put him in. Or I would see where I would put Beatty. I don't necessarily just move Flowers because Flowers is doing a great job.
Yeah.
He might make the Pro Bowl with the ability that he's playing at right now. That's going to be hard for Beatty to swallow. But at the same time, what do you do? I put Beatty over it right. He has a lesser pass rusher, but he's going to be expected to be very strong in the run game. If you can get him at right tackle, and all of a sudden, you can make things better. Right now, I think Newhouse is doing an admirable job out there.
I think he's fighting all of his own.
Newhouse is doing a lot better than what people or a lot of callers were thinking that Newhouse was going to do. At first, when they first got Newhouse, Newhouse is horrible. Why did we get this guy? For the past 3 games, I think he's done a pretty good job, and as well as Pugh being,
Pugh can play
in different places.
Yeah, Pugh can play. Well, the thing is, you have to realize is that when you're watching these guys, is that there's been so little contact. There's been so little on all around the league. There's been so little full speed moments. That the games themselves are the full speed moments. A lot of teams play their first groups through preseason. They've given more and more playing time because they realize that's the only time they can actually see them play. So the Giants have been holding guys out. Guys have been banged up in training camp. They hadn't had a full set of guys till like the fourth game, and now those guys are playing. And they're seeing full speed plays. And when you see them, they're starting to look better. Every week they look a little stronger. So where's Will Beattie? I mean, he's getting Wally Pipped right now. He's got to get himself back as quickly as possible. But I wouldn't want to rush him back and hurt something all over again.
No jinx to him, but, of course, there are still at least three more games to play before he's eligible, and you have no idea how this offensive line will perform over those three games or if anybody's going to get hurt, and the Giants are going to need to slot somebody. The good news is they've got some versatile guys on that line, so they can swap and move around if they have to.
If they need to, but you don't want to mess up the continuity that may be happening if it's going well. It's kind of like what's going on with the Jets and Geno Smith, and if they continue to play okay and Geno comes back, you don't just say, okay, sit down, Fitzpatrick, we're going to put Geno in. You're like, you know, I don't know what to tell you. Like, the kid's playing well.
Right.
Like, what do you do? So you gotta take all that into consideration.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate
Thank
it. 201-939-4513. Joe from Pennsylvania, I believe you're next on line two. Hello.
Hi there, Paul, Howard. Great to talk to you. I was just wondering, they're bringing in these receivers to look at them. I remember a week or so ago I mentioned to you to get somebody real fast and run them on these fly patterns and that. I was wondering, we have this Akeem Hunt there. He ain't going to get no shot at running back. He can't even come in. He might be our best kickoff return guy still. He is very elusive in the open field and that. Possibly changing him over to receiver.
He's a halfback and a kick returner. He's not a wide receiver. That's not what he does.
Yeah, but he's never going to get a shot at running back here. That's all I'm saying. To get him in the open
Joe,
field. But what's his speed, Paul?
With all due respect, I mean, the Giants, if they're looking for receiver help because Cruz is down, they want to get themselves a veteran receiver, a professional receiver, an experienced guy who knows what he's doing, who understands what it is to play the slot, who hopefully can play the other receiver positions as well. To just say you're going to take this halfback who, because he's incredibly fast, and throw him out on pass routes, that's really not the smartest thing to do.
I understand that, but what's his speed, Paul? Is he 4.3?
Hunt, you know what? I thought he was a 4.4.
Okay, well, that's fast enough. I mean,
well, I'm not saying he's not fast.
But hold on, Joe. It's a waste of talent, and he's very elusive.
Joe, I'm gonna say one other thing to you, though. Don't get caught up in those 40 times, because how do you play on Sunday with the gear on and in the game? That's the more important speed.
Yeah.
Don't just look at the 40 time now.
He looked tough running through the holes in preseason.
I think
one other thing, Paul.
I like Akeem Hunt. He showed me something, but that's not the answer for what the Giants are looking for right now.
All right, but I'm just saying he's a waste of talent. I have one other thing. I watched our top 10 in that, and I was thinking of you, Paul. I'd like to have a Giants position at every position, and you'd be the guy on there. Maybe the fans can call in. I know Paul Howard there, he'd definitely be the blocking tight end for sure. I don't think I never saw anybody better.
But
I think you'd be the guy for that, Paul, one of these times. Maybe in the summer or something like that, we could have it every week, call in and have a position, the top three positions or top three guys at that position. You know, I think you'd be great for that.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. Thanks so much for calling us, and we'll hear from you again, I'm sure. Be well. Howard, just to address that for 1 second, the NFL Films people got together, and they did a top 10 Giants of all time, which is a very hard thing to do considering the different eras and the style of game that has changed over the years. But Lawrence Taylor was number one, and I can't imagine anybody who could possibly disagree with that one.
I don't think there's any way. LT may be the top player in the league of all time. You know, forget about the Giants. I think that he played with an ability that's never been seen before and won't be seen again.
Changed the game.
Yeah, he did. I mean, big, strong, fast. He'd be defensive end today. He probably played tight end today because he's so fast and going down, up and down the field. But he was phenomenal. I mean, you just don't see guys like that outside of my, you know, a guy I spent a lot of time in college with, my college roommate, Derek Thomas. Two guys like that that are so explosive, so fast, mm-hmm. you just don't see that.
All right, we're kind of running out of time here, so let me just tell fans once again, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. Greg from Virginia, you may be our last caller. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Very good.
Good. Howard, thanks for the blood, sweat, and tears, man. You're great out there. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. You know, when I was watching some of the post-game interviews, one that caught my eye from the Washington game was Ruben Randall. And I'm not sure who does the radio, but that little small ball guy that's one of the hosts, he asked him a question about how important it is to get going and getting balls early. And it was the first time that Ruben Randall came out of his, you know, soft demeanor. Like, he was real – he got excited when he got a chance to answer that question. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of sad. You know, he's a professional. Why do you need to get going? You get paid tons of money. Get out there and catch the ball and have some heart. It's a privilege to play in the NFL. Mm. It's a privilege to be a Giant. So – we just need that mentality to go away. And it's a shame if people like that are going to be the demise of a Tom Coughlin era. But moving on, you know, I have to say the Giants have holes, and I'm aware of that. And I'm not going to write off the season. I'm not going to say we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm going to let it play out. But the fact is we have holes. And we are paying people on this team big-time money. And if you're going to pay them big-time money, then you need big-time results. If we're going to give Eli top quarterback money, I need top quarterback play. Mm. You can't be having these blunders at the end of games. I know he hasn't thrown a pick yet, but, you know, that's on the stat sheet. We all know there's more to it than just the stats. And if we're paying top five quarterback money, we need top five quarterback play. That's just how it is, especially if you have holes on your roster.
Greg, can I ask you, who do you think is the top quarterback of all time?
Top quarterback of all time?
All time.
There's so many eras, and to be honest, I'm 27, so I've only got to see late 90s and
all right, then. Who's the top quarterback in the league right now?
Right now, I mean, obviously Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. How many Super Bowls does he have?
Tom Brady, possibly.
How many Super Bowls does Aaron Rodgers have?
He has one.
Okay. And
why hasn't he won another one?
Well, it's a team game.
I got a better question for you.
No. Wait. You just said it was a team game. Now, before you were talking about top paid quarterbacks and how the guy has to perform as a top quarterback and how he's supposed to do all these different things. If Aaron Rodgers was on the Giants, would the Giants be a better team?
Yes.
Would they have won the two Super Bowls?
I mean, there's no way to know.
There's no way they don't? Well, why isn't he won?
There's no way. So
the way that you look at it, because you're misinformed slightly, he has better receivers by a long shot. He's had a better running game by a long shot. His defense plays better because they're playing with a lead all the time. And I'm going to ask you again, because this is your theory, why hasn't he won more Super Bowls?
Well, the Giants came into Green Bay once and beat them.
They did?
Yeah.
And who was the quarterback on that Giants team, by the way?
So what I'm telling you is that under your theory, you're arguing against yourself. You have to understand that Eli isn't just a good quarterback. Eli isn't just a great quarterback. And I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. Eli plays, doesn't miss any games. Eli plays in a lot of years.
Because
I would have asked, just hold on. Hold on for a second. Just stop talking and listen. Just listen.
But we're not winning.
You're 27 years old, and I'm trying to help you. You win more games than most people. You go to
no,
you
we
win.
Haven't.
Just
really.
Listen. Just listen. I'll take my two Super Bowls, playing with bad teams, bad offensive lines, and finding a way to do it with Eli versus anybody you got.
Is that what they were saying in 95 about the 90 team?
I'm taking Eli Manning and Super Bowl wins versus anybody you got. The only guy that you would be different with, maybe, is Brady or Big Ben. Outside of that, you got no arguments. Sorry. And I'm not being mean to you. What you just said was you tried to find a way to beat on Eli for something that happened.
I'm telling you,
big time players in this league don't always do or make. This kid will do it every time. You're probably going to wind up going to the playoffs this year. You're probably going to win the Super Bowl, believe it or not, if you get into that position this year, because they're going to score a lot of points. You guys aren't watching the progression of the team. They're going to score a lot of points. They're going to go against a really tough defense. They're going to go up against a really tough defense this week. They're going to score points. If they get ahead by 10 points, this team doesn't come back.
I have one last question.
Go ahead.
I have one last question. Do you guys get reprimanded for criticizing Jerry Reese?
I get reprimanded for criticizing everybody because I criticize everybody all the time.
I know
Jerry.
When he's indefensible.
He is not indefensible. The Giants have a good draft. The Giants have a good draft every 3 or 4 years. It's
Why
not bad. You don't understand. If you are a terrible team, just listen. If you're a terrible team every year, you get top picks every year. If you're an average team every year, you get average picks every year. The picks you have to work out. Every year around the league, some teams get it, players work out, and some teams don't.
I think the New York Giants should be a team that settles.
There is no settling. You get what you get. Name a player right now that the Giants should have picked last year. Pick one.
I would have picked last year.
Yeah.
I would have traded back because I realized that the roster has many holes.
So you would have let Flowers go, who looks like a Pro Bowl tackle, to get someone else.
I mean, he's played 2 games. That seems a little ridiculous to say a Pro Bowl tackle.
Oh no, it doesn't. You got to watch him play. He's
a monster.
He played
Randy Gregory the first game, and then he played the Atlanta defensive line, which is horrible.
All right, you'll see.
Okay. All right.
Greg, thanks for the call. We hope you watch and call again very much.
Call us later in the season and beat on me and tell me I'm wrong. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Our number here at Big Blue Kickoff Live, Monday to Friday from noon to 1 Eastern time every weekday, again, is 201-939-4513. I know we didn't get to Twitters today, hashtag Giants chat. We had a lot of phone calls that needed a lot of explanation.
There's a lot of guys that should be GMs in the league.
Holy
I'd love
smokes.
To see this.
Anyway, we got rotating hosts here. I believe tomorrow it's Jeff Fiegels who will be sitting in the chair.
Please beat on Jeff like this.
Might be Lance, might be John. I'm not sure, but the punter's going to be here tomorrow. The tight end, he's with me every Thursday. He's Howard Cross. I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you next time.
Wow.
Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.